Good evening and welcome into another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my ghost James Haskell and, of course, DK in the back running the show. The show that is brought to you by BetUS, which we'll certainly talk more about here in a little bit. But we are excited to get into, what is this, day 12, I believe, of training camp. A non-padded practice, but let me tell you, it was certainly not a slow action day out there today. It was beautiful weather. We had an opportunity to be out at camp. And of course, you know, the Ravens first class all the way and taking care of the fans. And it was a fun day at camp today, wasn't it, Jimbo?
Oh, it was. So you guys would have got a crack up. Glenn was on double dad duty today. It was a good time. Glenn's son brought his friend with him. And Glenn was riding solo. So I turned around and saw Glenn with two snow cones in his hand. He's got like a football in his armpit and he's got the bucket hat. And I'm just like, man, I'm waiting for a red snow cone to just pour all over Glenn. But luckily they were delivered successfully. It was beautiful weather, a beautiful time. Are those free? Are those complimentary?
No, those are $3. So it's not terrible.
Yeah, it's not terrible. I mean, that's you can't get a bottle of water for $3 these days, man.
Now, water is free.
Water, that's right. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's it's great stuff. And it was a great time. And something really cool that we were talking about with DK before the show started is the way that they practice today is the field three is really a field that's usually used for like special team and quarterbacks and stuff like that. But almost for the entirety of the practice, both units were down there. There was a lot of, I felt like, in comparison to what at least I've seen in the past, a lot of situational stuff, a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of seven-on-sevens, a lot of red zone, a lot of stuff that we all want to see, right? That we like really enjoy. And it was all right there. And the cool thing is that we got a lot of good insight from a lot of media members. Got a lot of stuff that we'll talk about, a lot of insider information from former players to not be named. But we're excited to talk about it. Glenn, I saw you earlier, but how you doing overall? Doing good?
Oh, doing good, man. It was a good day today. Let me just say this, guys. I dapped up the Ozzie Newsome today. Dapped him up. Told him I was a fan. I mean, that's a good day. I mean, Ozzie, the great and powerful. Shout out to Ozzie. It's been a good day. What's going on, Tanja? Adam, what's going on, Michael? Appreciate the correct spelling.
That's right.
Katie, of course, appreciate you being out here as well.
I gotta tell you something, Glenn. I think I told you this one. Yeah, I did tell you this today, but I figured it's worth sharing. It's what I consider to be a hilarious story. All right, and I think DK will get a good crowd. You're talking about Ozzie Newsome. Sunday I was driving home, my wife and our son and I, and we were in Hamden, and we drove past this little pizza shop, Ribaldi's. It's like a little New York style hole in the wall pizza shop, and they have a little tiny like patio out front with like two picnic tables. And we drive by and I look over to my right and I swear to you, I would have lost a bet for all the money in my bank account. It was Eric DaCosta sitting there waiting for his pizza. Right. And so I look over and I'm like, I go through a four-way stop and I hit a U-turn. I go in his parking lot. My like bumper hits the incline and the thing. And I go back around and Tanya's like, what are you doing? She's like, you got to go in there. You got to figure this out. I'm like, yeah, I know. So I pull off to the right. I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? Well, I got to order some fries. I'm not going to eat pizza, so I got to get some fries, right? So I walk in, and I walk past the guy, and I'm like, dude, it is. It's Eric DaCosta, right? But then I realize, I mean, I know what his family looks like. There are pictures on social media. I'm like, this isn't his family, though.
Dude, that could have gotten ugly if you saw him stepping outside.
I know. Oh, right?
So like, you know, I want to tour the facility. I want to meet every player. I'm snitching.
That's hilarious. So I walk up, I order some fries, and the guy's like, hey, boss, you got to spend $5. And I'm like, okay, give me a bottle of water, too. And he's like, all right, $5.87. So I, like, ring out, wait for my fries, and I'm waiting out front for my fries, and I'm creeping on this guy, and I'm looking at him, like, okay, he looks a little taller and, like, a little bigger, you know? And I look at him, and I finally, I'm like, I come to the determination it's not Eric DaCosta. And so finally I said, hey, man, you got to get Eric DaCosta all the time. He's like, now, who's Eric DaCosta? Because he had this, like, southern accent. He's some guy from North Carolina. He's like, we just up here for a lacrosse tournament, my son and my wife. And I'm like, I'm just active duty Marine. I'm all over the place. I don't know who Eric DaCosta is. I'm like, okay, well, Eric DaCosta is the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens. I show him a picture, and he was like, oh, my gosh. this him is me.
And RoboCop.
And his wife was like, holy crap. She was shocked. You know, but it ended up not being him. It was a good story. Yeah. But yeah, nonetheless, figured it was worth sharing. It was a good old time.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. But it was, I think today was the most beautiful day at Ravens camp. And let me tell you, Jimbo, let's get right into it.
Yep.
Really, the only new person not participating, and he's not very new to this, is Pepe Williams, because he did, you know, he was kind of a late start to camp, worked individually, then ramped up, got out there, and now back to not out there anymore. I think he's falling desperately behind in a very competitive cornerback battle right now. Man, it's a shame because I think, you know, everybody likes rooting for Pepe. He's got an infectious personality, great smile. But this guy, man, he got to be on the field, man. He's losing ground on all these other guys.
Yeah, that is a bummer because, you know, we will refer to our conversations with a lot of media members throughout the show today because we chatted with him pretty much the whole time there. And there are a lot of wild cards, according to our sources, at the cornerback position. It's really up in there. Even one of them said, I don't even think that Rock's really got it locked down at two.
Yeah.
You know, right now, as far as being the guy opposite Marlon. So, and he's been banged up.
Yep.
So it's really going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. My point is that Pepe needs to be out there for every rep he can, because like you said, he's falling behind and we wish for nothing but the best of him.
Some people are predicting he might miss the roster.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You know, it's a hot take. You know, I heard that today from someone who knows what they're talking about. So
I don't know if it was the same person, but somebody also mentioned me, speaking of defensive backs, that our Darius Washington is looking like he could be a guy to make this team, like active roster wise.
Yeah, shout out to him, man. That'd be so cool for what a story that would be for him. But yeah, we're going to get into, we got so much to talk about, but let's just get into it because the chat, I think, is blowing up.
Oh, you want to talk about Clowney?
Yeah, we got to get into Jadeveon. It was reported today that Jadeveon was at the Ravens facility for an official visit. This coming on the heels of Justin Houston being signed by the Carolina Panthers. And that was kind of the thought that he was the guy that was going to be coming in to help add some competition, some depth to the room. Obviously, that's not the case. A bit surprised to hear that Clowney's the guy. I mean, only because of the fact that he's never really lived up to the number one overall draft pick. Not that he hasn't had a decent career. He's had a, you know, pretty solid career. He's not a bad player, but didn't live up to the number one pick in the draft status, certainly not as a pass rusher, but has been paid well because of what all he brings, a fantastic run defender, and has flashes of brilliance as a pass rusher. But Jimbo, depending on what it's going to cost, some people say he takes too many plays off. Some people say, yeah, that the effort just isn't there play after play, that they wonder, you know, his desire and his love for the game, or if he's just here for a paycheck at this point. But the Ravens are at least kicking the tires to the point where they're having him in. What are your thoughts on the possibility of Jadeveon Clowney joining the Ravens?
You know, this is an interesting one for me because it's all relative. Like, Justin Houston is an absolute specialist, right? I think towards the end of the season, remember we were talking about this, he was playing something like 27% of the defensive snaps and still 9.5 sacks. I mean, right? His snaps came in bunches. Specialist. But yeah, he knows what – he'll break you down in the right situation. So, and he got – I would consider at this stage in his career, he got a little bit of a bag. $6 million guaranteed for 1 year, $7 million. You know, that's a bag for Justin, especially compared to what he was getting paid the last 2 years.
He was getting the minimum.
Right, when a lot of people thought he was out the league.
Yep.
You know, so shout out to him for working himself back in and getting that paycheck. But really, the reason I'm bringing that up is because it's got to be relative, right? So if you look at Houston's deal, even though they're different guys, different ages, Clowney's more of a three-down guy, they play the same position. So one contract will affect, you know, all that contract will affect the other. Mm-hmm. So for me, it comes down to the numbers. I don't know what the appetite is, you know, for Clowney league-wide. So what does he garner? I don't think he gets Justin Houston money. Do you?
No. I mean, I guess
it's hard to tell, right? Because people are always enamored by the what if.
Yep.
Right? Like, can we be the
ceiling?
Like, yeah, it's like the guy. It's like the person that's always like to the toxic partner. Oh, but I can fix him.
Yeah.
Right. Like
exactly.
Oh, I can fix him.
Yeah.
Oh, you found him that way or her that way. They won't be that way. You know what I mean? So ultimately, like, could this be the pairing that quote unquote, not that he needs fixing, but like unlocks him.
Well, we've seen the Ravens culture do that in the past. And my thing with Clowney is the difference to between the two is you mentioned, I mean, at this point, Houston is a specialist. He's a pass rusher, which is what we need. It's not like that's not something we need, but I think what makes a Clowney attractive is that, you know, he can do both. You know, he's a fantastic elite run defender still. And he has those flashes. So I just wonder what the money's like. And then it just at times, yeah, he doesn't scream like he plays like a Raven. You know, we want you to play like your hair's on fire. And it just seems like plays, there are times where he kind of loafs a little bit. So I'll be interested to see if they bring him in and what type of money it is.
Because are you excited about him though? Like
I would be excited if they make it incentive laden or where it's not a lot of guarantees involved, where he's going to have to play to get paid. Because I think if you get the right level of motivation behind a Jadeveon Clowney, he's got it from a physical standpoint. Like he's a freak of nature. So
yeah,
I'd be excited if the contract was correct. Yeah. I like that T.O. He said Clowney plays like a Texan. That's good. He don't play like a Raven, man. He plays like a Texan. Damn. Yeah. The Texans who have like zero tradition and zero.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Of course. Yeah. But, well, yeah. Look, I mean, this is the other thing too. So another source mentioned us today that he's not too confident in this pairing, these outside guys, because he just doesn't know if they can do it on tape. And like, not that camp hasn't been great for these guys, but just don't know what you're going to get. Right. And so, and what happens if one of them gets hurt? So ultimately the Ravens have to do something. And if he's the best guy on the market, like
what about Van Noy? Van Noy, you see, Van Noy is attractive because he's the Bowser replacement. He's the guy that can drop in coverage. He can play inside linebacker and outside. But while also getting at least 5 sacks in 5 straight years, so he's just the more versatile guy. Would you be in favor of Van Noy?
If you paid them the same money, who would you rather have?
I think I'd rather have Van Noy just because
the smarts and like,
well, also the rap that was around Bowser and the limp that man had showing up day one to camp didn't look like that was something he's going to walk off in a couple days.
Yeah.
So I just love Van Noy's versatility. I don't know if there's a better guy I'd rather have dropping into coverage in that Bowser role. It's not going to be, you're certainly not going to drop Clowney ever. So, you know, I just like the versatility. And let's not forget, 5 straight years with at least 5 sacks. That's not like, you know, it's not like you're not getting anything from a pass rush standpoint.
Yeah, and he's certainly been more available, from an injury standpoint. So that's a tough one. It would be hard for me to say no to Clowney, though. Like, if that were the two and the money was the same. You just see him walk in and you're like,
okay. I know. Freakish.
This makes a lot
and he's
of
a
sense.
Monster run defender. Like, insane.
Yeah, so that's a tough one, but I think ultimately what we know is the Ravens are going to bring in a guy. If it's Van Noy, great. If it's Clowney, all right. But I think I'm okay with both as long as the money's right. I don't want that to be like a cop-out answer, but I'll say opposite to you, my preference, and this is crazy because I've clowned Clowney, but I'm siding with Clowney. Okay. I just want a dog in there that can get home, man. I just want to see somebody get home.
I mean, sure. Certainly if it's like playoff time, high leverage, I'd love to know that ceiling of Clowney is sitting. You know what I mean? Just to know that at any point that ceiling could come out and he could just rip a tackle out of his way and destroy Pat Mahomes.
Right. But too, like Van Noy is such an experienced, intelligent football player. Mm-hmm. Right? He's been in all the big moments.
No doubt. You know?
And so that's also enticing as well. But I think I'll roll with Clowney on this one. And we'll see what happens. But Glenn, I want to switch gears real quick to something that I thought was really interesting that I think is being understated. Unless I'm missing something. Today, there's technically two fullbacks, right? I'm going to call them fullbacks. Ben Mason and Patrick Ricard, right? That are on our roster.
Mm-hmm.
But today, they were practicing at the same time in two different position groups. Patrick Ricard was practicing with the offensive linemen. Exclusively the offensive linemen. Not catching passes.
No tight end routes.
No, nothing. Nothing at all. And Ben Mason was wafting in the wind, catching passes and whatever he does over there. But I thought that that was really interesting. I thought it was, I mean, really interesting to me. So like what, it, so, and let me add to that real quick and then I'll get your thought. One of the media members as well said, look, Patrick Ricard is a football player. Cause that's a tough transition. People make it easy. You look at his size, you make it seem easy. You just look at his size, athleticism, but technique is a lot. But if one guy can do it, people seem really confident that it can be Pat. What's your take on when, you know, what was your immediate reaction when you saw that?
So surprised, Jimbo, like absolutely stunned. I mean, he worked only with the third team offensive line at guard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and the thing that baffles me is that the Ravens right now don't have a blocking tight end on the roster. And when Pat was out, as he recovered from the hip, because people got to remember, Pat just got back to practice. He wasn't even practicing until I think yesterday or very recently. And all the reports are they're trying to find someone who can block at the tight end position. We saw Ben Mason lined up at the end of an offensive line. None of those guys can block a defensive lineman. None of those guys can block a talented outside linebacker. They just can't do it. They're not. They haven't been asked. Isaiah Likely can't do it. Mark Andrews can only do to a some degree some what they call it, like shielding. Like he gets in the and he's just so big that he slow you down enough to where you might not be able to impact the play. But you're not getting a textbook block out of Mark Andrews. Nor are they going to ask him to put his head and helmet in the trenches and risk that from Mark Andrews. So they seemingly have a giant need at blocking tight end. So either, and I think it's weird, is like Pat hasn't been practicing. It's not like Pat's been like, all right, we know we got Pat who can do that. Let's see what he can do over here. He hasn't even learned the offense. He hasn't taken reps at tight end. He hasn't done anything at tight end. And the first thing they do is they go, let's see what you look with the third team guard. Like I don't understand. It kind of worries me for Pat's job because it makes me wonder, like, why are they like, it's like they're trying to say, what can this guy, how can this guy help us? Like, that's what it's looking like. And I find it very hard to believe that even though Pat Ricard is slightly larger, at least when you look at their height and weight, than a guy like Tyler Linderbaum, I find it hard to believe a guy who hasn't played any offensive line in his entire life is going to transition to offensive line in what, his fifth year? Like,
yeah,
it just seems, it seems incredibly unlikely that he'll have success, even though I believe he's one of the very special athletes in the league.
Yeah, it's almost like, dude, you got a better shot at making this roster defensively on the interior, you know, if then potentially offense on the interior, just because that's what he came in the league as, right? You know, and he's actually like, the tape is sparse, right? But you can go back and find some moments where Pat jumped off the screen as a defensive interior, you know, guy, but obviously none at the offensive line. So gonna be, yeah, that's true. I didn't really think of that point, but you're just trying to extract any value you can out of him, right? But like you said, does that mean that, is he like, hey, I'll do anything. I need a job, right? Like I don't want to be off the team, right? Or is this the Ravens saying, hey man, like, we think that you can do this and we believe in you type thing, you know?
I mean, look, there's just not many guys in the world that could block a D tackle and then in the same play, run down 30 yards and block the safety on the same play.
Right.
So that's what
you're saying.
That's
gotta be of enough value.
Yeah. Like that's why, that's why they're like, man, we got to find a way to keep this guy and make him valuable. Cause he's just such a great athlete and he is so incredibly versatile. But I just, man, I'm like, man, to ask this guy to do this, this is a lot to ask. You're going to go take a guy who started in the league as D tackle, transition him to fullback where he becomes a Pro Bowler, and then go, now we're going to ask you to be offensive line, something you've never done in your life. It's a lot, but hey, if anyone can do it, it's Project Pat.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say on this, DK asks the question, what does this say about the backup guards? I mean, I'll tell you this, speaking of backup guards, not a single media member today had any confidence in our backup guards.
No.
Like, Saleh and McCary are it.
Mm-hmm. Ben Cleveland.
I heard trash. I heard garbage.
I'd rather have Pat Ricard.
Yeah, exactly. These are things that I heard. Two people that I talked to said he literally cannot move left or right. And another person said he has no power. Like, his power doesn't translate to the pushing the people in front of him. And then the third person said he can't get a hold of anyone.
And by the way, just so you guys know, this was a training camp where the offensive line did individual stuff so close to us. He is so huge. Like,
oh, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I could have reached out and grabbed Ben Cleveland. He is gigantic. It makes no sense that he couldn't. And Falele, remember that drill where they had to get up under that bars?
He had to pivot in.
He couldn't fit.
No.
And these are a structure built for offensive linemen.
Well, if you guys know what this is, it's similar to like sprinters when they're practicing short distance sprinting. They have to stay, so you stay low. You stay, like, in this cage as you go up. It's very similar, but mm-hmm. like Glenn said, they're made for massive humans. And it was hilarious because Falele had to stick one side of his body in at a time and then the other side. He couldn't just, like, scooch in.
No.
Dude, ridiculous.
Yeah, he is huge. He is huge. But, yeah, Ben Cleveland at that size to not be able to – I mean, I think DK brings up a good point. I think it's not a good sign that they're going, man, we need depth at guard. Let's see what Ricard has. Like,
yeah,
that's not a glowing, you know, I think John Simpson has experience, but outside of the experience, I don't think they really like him. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, you know what they should do? This is really far out. If Salah becomes the starter, and he beats out all the guys. This should only count for rookies. If he beats out all the guys in front of him.
Yeah.
Whatever the highest drafted guy in front of him that he beats out, he should get his paycheck.
That's right.
Give me that paycheck.
Sixth round pick. So.
Yeah. Beating out a third rounder. Yeah. Give me a third rounder's paycheck, bro. Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, but look, people talked about that as well. I mean, if you want to take a second, talk about Salah, I thought it was really cool. People talked about his preparedness, how he picked up the offense super quick. And the one thing that I heard that was really cool was that they started him out as, like, you know, the third guard, and he looked great. Second unit looked great. First unit looked great. Now, obviously, we've got to see what he does,
preseason.
You know, in like preseason, and that obviously is going to be a big indicator. But that, I mean, that's just exciting to hear that we could have a piece that, shoot, we can have him on a real nice contract for the next, you know, 4 years.
No doubt. I mean, this right? is a steal. This guy. You're talking about big. This is a big dude.
Oh,
this
yeah.
dude is huge, and I love the way he's attacking this like a pro at such a young age. Yeah, I mean, the guys were raving about him. I mean, this guy has been nothing short of a steal and, you know, just a notch on the belt of Joe D, the offensive line coach for the Ravens, who apparently was beaten on the table for this guy. He definitely – man, he picked a good one because this guy, I think, is going to be a steal in the sixth round. He's going to be a day one starter here. No doubt.
Yeah, crazy stuff, man. It's just, yeah, another, like you said, another steal for the Baltimore Ravens. So, mm-hmm. the other thing of note, Linderbaum had mysterious wrap on his left hand today, like almost
left arm.
Yeah, it was almost the entire right. It was almost the entire arm, which was a bit odd, and no one knew what was going on there.
But full participant though, and everything.
Full participant. Yep. Yeah, dude's a farmer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what yeah. he's wrapping? You don't get days off
and. Sign my son's football. So shout out to Tyler.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? So huge. But hopefully he's all right. Maybe just some general soreness. Maybe maybe a defensive lineman's got long nails. He's starting to get scratched.
Could have gotten scratched. Yeah, never know. Yeah.
Something like that. He's like, dude, I'm sick of it.
but it's good to see that you know, there still hasn't like been any of those injuries that start to mess with the cohesion of the offensive line.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like to see that everybody's been out there. Ronnie looks good, looks strong, looks athletic.
Mm-hmm. Happy, excited.
But Jimbo, let's get into the exciting part because right, I know you had some notes in the middle of your notebook about one OBJ who it's gotta be. I mean, I think there's two matchups to me that have been the most fun, and I don't think it's, and I think it's these two, and then it's a big drop off. And yeah. I will say, OBJ versus Marlon Humphrey has been an absolute blast to watch. I love the fact that they're going right at each other. Marlon's not backing down. OBJ obviously isn't either. And right on the heels, nipping at it, is Mark Andrews versus Kyle Hamilton. We got a heavy dose of both of those matchups today. And, man, the stars were shining bright today, weren't they, Jimbo?
Oh, they were for sure. And all the little kids were, OBJ, OBJ. But I'll tell you what is really funny about those two scenarios. They remind me of a big brother, little brother. Well, Mark and Kyle, because Kyle ran over. Were you next to me when Mark caught one in the end zone?
Yeah, in the end zone, the corner.
And
of the end
then
zone.
Kyle ran out of the like yep, out of the
out
field
of
and was angry,
mm-hmm.
right? And Mark is definitely the older brother in this scenario, and is Kyle does not like the physicality that Mark plays with. Just doesn't like it. Not that he's like, we've seen Kyle lay the wood, right? And you know, really play physical. But the hand play there with you know,
dude,
the,
Kyle gets in there, dude. I remember Mark asking for a flag last week on a couple of them.
They've been going back and forth. Oh, yeah. And that's been really funny to watch. But it was funny to see him very much like a little brother, like, come on, man. Like, just being a bit physically.
You're bigger than me.
Yeah, being dominated a bit physically, right? So that was cool. But a lot of fun. What I want to talk about, just like you said with OBJ, is I wrote a note here, OBJ, crazy catch. And then by the end of practice, I wrote times three. Mm-hmm. He had three. He had one over on the far side in the red zone drill. This is what's so exciting. This guy could get double-digit touchdowns this year just because he's disgusting in the red zone. Mm-hmm. So good. I mean, the dude's hands are glue. His footwork is amazing. So we were chatting it up with a former player who played the same position for the Baltimore Ravens at one time. And he was talking about OBJ and said he practices his catch. So he caught it like behind him over the DB's head. Like he jumped up, you know, spun, like did one of these over the dude's head, brought it down, and got both feet in. This is in the very back corner of the end zone. I mean, it was just incredible, right? So there was that one. And then another one, it was like on a 10-yard out or so, maybe a 7-yard out, something like that. It was probably a 10-yard out. Lamar, you know, bulleted it to him. But once again, tightrope in the sideline looked like vintage Derek Mason, man. You remember Derek Mason used to work the sideline? Looked very much like that, and the defender was right on him. And then the last one, you're talking about Marlin and OBJ, man. I mean, I don't know what that last one was. Maybe 40, 50 yards?
Yeah, just a streak route looked like.
Yeah, and once again, his hands are just insane. The ball goes in, and he comes down with it.
Just and just the ability to make adjustments, like the nuances of the receiver. Like, I love how he in because you get that much time to make decisions on what you're going to do when the ball's in the air, right?
Yeah.
But I love the way he deceives the corner, but also makes the perfect adjustment to put himself in position to make the catch. That's not something that everybody can do. It's like, well, every receiver can catch. Well, yeah, everybody can. Every receiver can stand in front of the jugs machine and just and catch bullets right to him. But not every receiver can adjust to the ball in the air. Certainly DBs can't. That's why they're DBs and not receivers. But also the ability to deceive the DB with your body language and then make late action to get to the ball, like late hands to get to the ball. He'll fake a back shoulder and turn it into a you know, an over the shoulder. I mean, he's just next level, man. I mean, I just love that he's not just here for, you know, the production he's going to provide, but all the tutelage and all the wisdom he's going to give to all the young guys like Zay Flowers, who, by the way, you know, I stood next to Zay today. I got to where I could reach out and grab him with nobody. He's no Hollywood. This dude is good. This dude, his legs, like, you know, a lot of people work on the upper body and let the legs kind of suffer. Yeah, not the case for Zay. I mean, this dude is well put together. But I think OBJ is gonna only make Zay better. He's only going to help guys like Tylan Wallace, Prochet. He's going to elevate the play of everyone in the room.
Yeah, speaking of, Prochet had some nice catches today.
How'd that feel to say?
Training camp king?
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, it's a bummer because he looks ripped and he looks strong and he looks fast. Like, the first time I've ever said, James Prochet looks fast. He usually looks slow as molasses going uphill in the middle of winter.
Like, yeah, I tell you, he's a hell of a good, he's good to the fans, man. He's great to the fans.
Yeah. But look, for the sake of him, I hope something happens. But, you know, once again, we got it on good information that if the Ravens keep six, you know, at least one guy in particular likes Tylan Wallace to be the sixth.
And mentioned Tariq Black.
And Tariq Black looks like a real pro. So the same source also said that if Tariq Black doesn't make the team, he's not going to make it to the practice squad.
Right.
You know, he's going to be somewhere else. He looks like an NFL player and he's big.
Keeps making
he's
plays, strong. Man.
Yeah. Yep. That was exciting. The other thing I want to mention here. Oh, I wrote pro as in Prochet showing out.
Mm-hmm.
He forced me to write the note. Tylan Wallace also had a nice catch. I did notice, I mentioned this, Lamar got stepped on, but he came back, but he did get stepped on, and the people subsequently booed the ref for not calling it dead sooner.
Mm.
But the other guy I want to talk about is my man, number 21, Brandon Stevens. Didn't have a perfect practice. But yeah. I saw two nice PBUs, and one was excellent. And he's a dog, man. I can't say it enough. I really like Brandon, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, man.
Yeah, man, I'm happy for him because I'm like you, man. I like the guys that play with a little dog in them, and
yeah,
I love the fearlessness he plays with, physicality, the short memory. But I wonder, can he? Because look, anybody opposite Marlon is going to get a heavy dose in a passing situations because they're just not going to throw to Marlon. So if he can, because they always say you can't teach a guy to all of a sudden be able to find the ball in the air. So that's my only worries. Is that can he continue to develop to find the ball when the ball's in the air so he doesn't get into those issues where he's grabbing and grasping? Because that's my only concern in game day is finding that ball, man. Got to be able to find the ball when it's in the air or teams are just going to continually pick on you. Because Marlon, while he might not get his hands on a ton to get a lot of picks, he's the type that as the ball's getting to the hands of the receiver, his hand is coming in there to knock it away. He just does it in a different way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like what he's been doing. Armour Davis been doing his thing. I hope he continues to stay healthy because they need to develop depth in this cornerback room.
Quality and depth. I mean, it can't be, they need somebody to step up, play that two role. It's going to be really interesting. I'm a bit nervous about it.
Yeah. I think the Ravens front office is a bit nervous about the cornerback position, especially when you look at the AFC, the quarterbacks, the weapons, it's a lot out there. So, I can get. But also, I want to ask you, what are you thinking about your guy Gus? Before we talk little bit more, JK.
So I got some shiny notes on Gus as well because look, every single year, Gus adds something to his game. You know what Gus did this year? He went dark. He went into the lab.
Yep.
And he came out knowing how to run routes and catch that dang football. Dude can catch the pigskin. He had a night. He had a ton of scenarios where he's just catching passes against air, but with relative live bullets, considering there's no pads, had a real nice catch that was high and away, full extension, something that a receiver generally would do, not just like a in the breadbasket short. It was like an 8-10 yard pass, high and away, full speed, going across his body. That's not as easy as people make it look.
Nope.
Especially, it's being launched out of, Lamar Jackson's hands is probably flying at a good speed. So, man, he's exciting. It was funny today. I don't know if you caught this one. You might have been on snow cone duty. I think you were. But I was chatting with a media member and a former player. It was just through there. And, of course, I was making my – we were talking JK, and I was making my case for my boy Gus. And at the exact same moment, they're practicing a run play. Gus breaks through the middle, gets to the DBs. DB steps in front of him. All you hear was – one of those, right, where Gus just instinctively, he's running kind of 70%, puts his shoulder down, and even the media member was like, see what happens? I'm like, he has one mission in life. Take his helmet and hit the goalpost with it.
And the exciting part about Gus is, imagine him as a pass catcher, because we always think about Gus and the way he can move piles and the way he never goes for negative yards because he's just so big and so strong. Well, now let's imagine him as a pass catcher where the guys tackling him are now going to be corners and safeties and not D linemen and linebackers. Like
a light box.
Yeah, he can wear on on your front seven. Imagine what he's doing to wear on your back end of your defense. I think if he can really show that, look, I can be counted on to be more than just your bruiser. I can be I can catch the ball. Then it can, man, it's going to make it tough for DBs to have to deal with him, but also catching the ball well in the backfield. Justice Hill's called a few touchdowns out of the backfield. Yep. I think he's played well. He's getting, obviously he gets run with the first team because he's a talented pass protector when it comes to blocking for the quarterback. So I think he's definitely gonna have a role, but I keep seeing Keaton Mitchell. This guy's been used a lot as a return guy. He, again, was catching passes out of the backfield, running the ball well. Some people think he might not make it to the practice squad if he continues to play this well. And, of course, it plays well in the preseason. But all this is just really getting around to the point of, once again, we were asked today, or John was asked today, what's going on with J.K. Dobbins? And same old answer. We don't know. But he's losing valuable time, and he's definitely losing spots on this depth chart, Jimbo.
Yeah, it's and so one of the things I want to talk about, JK, I'm also going to circle back to Gus because I'm not done talking about it yet, but I do want to talk about JK. Shout out to my nephew who's in here. What's up, Alex? But I also want to say one of our questions, Glenn, if you remember, we were like, well, is he going rogue against the agent? Is he getting advice from the agent? Because players ultimately act as them, you know, all an agent can do is counsel you, mm-hmm. right? So we got it on good authority that this is what his agent is counseling him to do. And the former player we're hanging with was like, who's his agent? He needs a new one. He needs a new one. Like, there's no yep. way around it. This is just absolute insanity at this point because, like, you're not Josh Jacobs. You aren't the
Saquon Barkley.
The entirety of this offense, yep. right? You're simply not. And so JK is in a one-way position. I mean, all he can do is go out there and play and ball out. And both player and media member both said to us, if he would have come to John and communicated and said, John, I want to ramp up really slow and get going 3 weeks into camp. And I don't want to play in a preseason game.
They weren't going to play him in preseason either.
Right. He said, young John would not have accepted that. This okay. John would absolutely do that. The John Harbaugh that is today would have been like, all right, let's come up with a plan. You know?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just a real
look what Melvin Gordon situation. Said. Melvin Gordon was asked about this. Melvin Gordon, who's currently on the Ravens, asked yeah. about the running back market, said, this is his quote, we just got to go out and play. At the yeah. end of the day, the talking and the this and the that is not going to get anything done. We have to yeah. shine in the brightest moments. That was yep. his quote. I just don't get what he thinks he's accomplishing. Like, you're not learning the offense. I mean, yeah, I'm sure he's in all the meetings. They say he's in the meetings, but you're not repping. Yeah. If you're not out there getting reps, you're not going to get any clock. You're just not going to yeah. get. So it's just, I think he's crushing his, not only that, I mean, not only is he not impressing, he's not on the field, but he's also showing that he will hold out and GMs are watching. So there's a ton of GMs that are signing up to sign a player who will demonstrate hold out, hold in, whatever you want to call it, potential. Yeah. Who's signing up for that, Jimbo?
Yeah, the only former front office member that you and I know that's here in local media just said it's, quote, stupid.
Yeah.
Look, from the horse's mouth, you know what I mean? So really quickly, I want to take a quick break and talk to you about BetUS, mm-hmm. of course, our sponsor for the show. Some really cool things about BetUS. Every week they're giving us some new, you know, promotional stuff that they're doing for the upcoming season. And something that Glenn pointed out pre-show that I think is really cool is a lot of the stuff they're doing right now is season-long bets.
Yep.
So, you know, you guys can see on the screen here, I think this is a really cool concept. Last undefeated team. Now, these are the four teams, I think, I as far as I understand it, obviously every team has odds, unless I'm completely.
Oh, right. Yeah. These are just the best. These
the
are,
best odds.
These
right?
are the, like actually, the, you would probably get likely. Like, yeah, the yeah, exactly. The most likely least return. Yeah. Exactly. So you pick a team like the Ravens, you're getting a whole lot more
right.
return.
And don't pick the Bengals because they're losing week two.
Exactly. Joey B ain't going to be there for all training camp. He'll be right. rusty. The Ravens, you know, are starting off 2-0 because they're going to yeah. absolutely destroy the Texans. And then the Bengals are going to come in with a Joey Burrow who's a little rusty.
Right.
And I think that's going to hurt them. So, yeah, look, this season long bets, I think, are the sleeper good picks that people mm-hmm. don't like to do because it's not the immediate payout. You're not getting payment. You know, the next day or the next week, you're going to have to wait a couple weeks and or a few months. But, man, you can get some steals on these preseason bets.
Yeah, and the cool thing is do both, right? Because do this, lay some eggs in this basket, and then go out here and do. You can do some in-game live stuff, pre-game stuff. There's prop bets. I haven't personally seen a diverse betting pool is what I'll call it. Like diversity in ways to bet. And things to bet on as I have with BetUS. So, and then yep. on top of that, right? Like you can put in up to $2,500 and they'll match plus some. So they'll give you $125 back of what you put in up to $2,500. Most of them, it's only $500 and 100%. So go get some free money, have some fun, use the link that's in the description. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, if you're on Twitter, I just tweeted the link. So go check it out. But yeah, man, BetUS is the place to be. We'll be placing some bets this year and having some fun with it. I think maybe as a show, we'll put some shekels on the Ravens being the last undefeated team and see how that turns out for us. Yeah, make sure to hop on the bandwagon while the getting's good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Might as well.
That's right. Now, Glenn, before we kind of change gears, I want to talk about Gus just for a couple more minutes. Yeah,
please do.
Because one of the things that's important to remember that I reminded the folks we were chatting with today is that Gus is also in a contract year.
Yep.
He's just as hungry as JK to get new money, right? So ultimately, that's something that's really important. So he's not giving up. He's not giving up that ball easy. The other thing, too, is I will credit this show right here, 410 Sports Talk, being the first ones to say Gus Edwards, RB1, coming out the gate this year. We said it before the Melvin Gordon signing. As soon as JK started sitting out, I think that's something we said. And the last thing I'll say is that I was validated today, Glenn. I said to relatively respected opinions and former players that I think that Gus Edwards is just as good, if not better. I said better than Najee Harris. I think he's better. Efficiency-wise, if he had the same targets and opportunities, dude would just be better. And you know what? I didn't get laughed off the stage.
No. I mean, look, Najee's got the name. But since they've been in the league, it's hard to argue against what you just said. I mean, yeah, opportunity-wise, Najee's had far more. But
he's always going to at this point.
Look
right?
at every other number. Right. I mean, look at what they do with their opportunity. Gus Edwards is certainly an underrated player, and he'll continue to be underrated. You're not going to see Gus Edwards drafted, I don't think, in many fantasy drafts this upcoming season, but you will see Najee drafted in all of them. So
yeah,
it is a difference. I might have to grab me some Gus Edwards in my fantasy draft. I know what they got in this guy, but I also wanted to quickly mention, I heard the interview a couple days ago with Chuck Smith, the new, you know, pass rush guru that they brought in to work with the guys in the front seven. And I thought it was interesting because he talked about, like, he talked about getting here, and he said typically when you get places, a lot of times you have to wait until the talent is drafted. Like, you're involved in the process of picking guys, drafting them, and then developing them. He said, we already got two guys here. Like, he was raving about two guys, the Dafe being the leader and Ajabo being behind him. And I got his excitement about these guys got me thinking, they don't sign Justin Houston. I mean, everything I'm hearing is that Oweh's having a fantastic camp. John Harbaugh raved about him in his last presser, says he's having unbelievable camp. Chuck Smith, same thing, talking about these two guys, they're going to be special. What if, Jimbo, these two guys end up being what everyone's thinking that they could be? What if these two guys turn into those dueling pass rushers that are racing to get to the Rasheed Mathis.
Remember Doom and Suggs, man?
Yeah, Doom and Suggs, like they were here. What if they turn out to be that? I mean, how good could this defense be if they end up being what they could be?
Yeah, I mean, incredible. This is, I don't know any other more articulate way to put this, but we've talked about this. This is one of the areas that Glenn and I have identified as the high range, like high differential, there's a wide spectrum of contribution that this unit could give us, right? Like, these guys can fall flat on their faces and be paper champs, right? And look good coming off the bus, or they can both potentially have 8, 9, 10 sacks. Now, one of the things that made me cool on Ajabo, not Adafe, Ajabo, was that said media member also said, look, Ajabo really, he just doesn't have a lot of reps. I mean, if you look, he didn't, you know, in college, he had the one breakout, right? He had the year. And then last year he had what? Two games.
Yeah.
And now we're expecting him to carry the load and come up with 9, 10 double digit sacks. Not very many young guys have done that in this league.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's tamper expectations a little bit.
Suggs did it.
Yeah. Right. And look, they said that Ajabo, some people still believe that Ajabo is better than, dang it, who's his counterpart? Aiden, what's his
Hutchinson.
Name? Hutchinson. Yeah. Some people believe that he was the better one. And a lot of people, I mean, I think not a lot of people, it was common knowledge that he was going to be a first rounder, probably a top 15 pick before the injury. Mm-hmm. Right. So with all that in mind, it's not like the community of football experts didn't believe that he could be that guy.
Right.
So we just got to hope he is. But, Yeah, man, I'm interested to see what the heck these guys can do. I'll be interested to see how much run they get in preseason too.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's going to be some surprises in preseason because somebody's got to play. So there's there's going to be a handful of guys that people are going to be on Twitter. Fans are going to be pissed. They're going to say, "I don't want this guy. He's trash." You know, I don't know. I think eventually you're going to have to play guys, and if they get hurt, then he's going to get bashed. And if they don't, then, you know, everything will be fine. But that's all what it comes down to is somebody's got to play. And you know, it might end up being one of your favorite players. It could just be.
Yeah.
But also I wanted to touch on Mark Andrews today. Kyle Hamilton got a lot of hype because he had some good practice days, specifically the day where the offense was faced with a ton of third and long situations, had the offense throwing quite a few interceptions. I think Lamar was notched for 4 picks in one practice session, which is quite unheard of for a starting quarterback. But again, they were faced in third and long situations, in a situation where any offense would likely fail. And so they were fighting uphill. But today, when it was more so red zone and some other situational stuff, Mark Andrews was getting the best of Kyle Hamilton. But I think that iron and sharpened iron between those two guys, I've been hearing people say that Kyle Hamilton looks like the best player on the defense at times. And if he can turn out to be that good, like that elite, remember, people were saying he might have been the best guy in his draft before all that stuff tried to knock him down as, you know, as his slower 40 time and like best football player in the draft was Kyle Hamilton. That's the type of talk he was getting. What if this guy can become one of the best safeties in the league, Jimbo, this secondary that, yeah, has some question marks at corner could be, I mean, tops in the league, Jimbo.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a huge way to kind of compensate and minimize the question marks, just like you said, at corner. And yeah, I agree with you. Some people get worried because, oh, you're getting beat by an all-pro tight end?
Yeah.
You're fighting, too. Like, I mean, right. He's been in there scratching, clawing, and fighting and winning some of these. And like you said, looking really good. He definitely took the offseason. Somebody said it. Hamilton looks big AF. Big AF relative to his build. He doesn't look big AF.
He looks huge in that he's so tall as a safety. Yeah,
he's a basketball build, but he's you know what I mean? But he's really starting to add some weight. And so, yeah, he looks massive. Yeah, it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to this kid making a huge jump this coming year. I'm not really that concerned about it. I think there'll still be some pains, some growing pains, but I'm looking forward to it, man. And I'll tell you what, I know we're talking a lot about offense today, but I got to mention this. I think that – so I asked a few people because it was something I was hearing. For those that have been out for every practice that they possibly be out there for, this was the offense's best showing today thus far. Mm-hmm. And it sure looked that way. I mean, absolutely looked that way today.
Jimbo, are you using your headphone mic, by the way? Because when you went like this – you got really loud. I think this whole time you've been using your headphone mic. Oh man, that's all right. You still sound good, dude.
How's that?
Yeah, so different. So different.
I appreciate that, dude. I have a random like coda, like my dog's hair. I can see it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's in my sight.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Get it off my face. I'm like, I can see it. Like off my face.
Gotta love dogs, you know? Yeah, they remind you all the time that you have them by the hair that you bring with you everywhere. Don C says, off topic, but the Orioles are leaders in the American League, and Angelos pulls this stuff with Kevin Brown. Thank God for Bisciotti. Yeah, I mean, we talked about today, in fact, with everyone, because it was just a topic, you know, you couldn't escape. If you guys haven't seen it, Kevin Brown, who's the play-by-play announcer for the Baltimore Orioles, one of the most talented young guys in the business, you know, after, you know, not everyone's blessed to have a talented voice in the booth, you know what I mean? And they got Kevin Brown. And what appears to be, Kevin Brown made a statement about the Orioles' lack of success for a few years running in Tampa Bay when taking on the Rays, and just mentioned that this season they've won more games in Tampa than they had previous seasons combined. And it appears that that meaningless, obvious statement was taken the wrong way by the ownership here, John Angelos, and he was suspended for those comments. And obviously this story has grown legs. It's gone. It's everywhere. It's viral. Angelos is getting absolutely destroyed, rightfully so. He literally just said that the Orioles had struggled in a place and are doing much better there against a very good team and got suspended. It's the most ridiculous thing. Don C is 100% right. And yeah, way to go, Angelos, for taking the attention away from the fact that the O's are chasing down the Braves for the best record in the entire league, Jimbo. They're game and a half back for the best record in the league. And this idiot of an owner, who, by the way, has done absolutely nothing, is now taking away Kevin Brown, who I wouldn't even blame if he left the
organization. Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
We're going to end up with someone who's far worse than what we had in Kevin.
Yeah. No, he's gone. Why? Why hang around? Yeah. Working for ownership like this. Bishotti, please.
I know. Bye.
Please. Just
somebody friendly, buy the damn Orioles and get this guy out of here.
Yeah, freaking Angelos. Ugh. Anyway, same people that defended large corporations when people got hurt and gave them helped them settle for as little as money as possible. That's awesome. Yeah, baby. Oh, anyway, I won't go there.
We got a good one with Bishotti.
Yeah, we got a good one, man. He was out there today in full form, golf cart and all. I saw him out there chatting up with the players. All right, there you go. Kevin Plank. Buy the O's, man. Do it.
Yes,
do it, please. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Buy the O's and buy the Ravens when Bishotti decides to hang it up. You know, get them both.
I'll be interested. That's what I was going to say, DK. I don't know if he's got the dollars for both of them. I don't know if he's got the dollars for the Ravens by themselves.
Well, yeah, maybe not.
Under Armour ain't doing that good.
Partners. Look what they did with Magic Johnson. You get partners.
Yeah, you get partners for sure.
You know, you get Magic partners. Magic's
got like 2 shares.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he does. You know, you get a couple celebrities in there.
Right. No, but you're right. I mean, do it as a group. Yeah. But he can probably step at that. Dude, that's how much of a gangster Steve Bishotti is. He just walked in by himself.
Just with his checkbook. That's it. Just here. Let me write the check. In. How many zeros? How many? I'm going to count them.
Yeah. Let me make sure I got this right.
Yeah, it must be nice.
Oh,
but yeah, this has been a good one. Last thing I got to ask you, Jimbo, preseason coming up. Is it Saturday against the Eagles? I believe it is.
Crazy.
23-game preseason win streak still exists. Mean anything to you at all?
No. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it means only that the Ravens have depth and are good coaches. But I just want to see the guys that I want to see produce and show out. And I want to get some clarity on the position battles more than I care about the scoreboard. And I want everyone to be healthy. Gosh, dang it.
That's right. Do you believe that winning is a culture or it starts in the preseason? Something that is like, you know, how they say this like team just doesn't know how to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that used to be a thing when starters would play in preseason. But like now, your second best player at that position isn't even playing in preseason anymore.
Right.
You know, so it's just a different league now. I understand your point, but
I think we can all agree here. When you're watching, you want them to win, right?
Yeah. No, definitely, you want them to win for sure. Yeah. But I think it's been a blast tonight, man. Make sure you guys check out BetUS.
Absolutely.
Use the link in the description. It's an easy way to support Glenn and I and DK and what we do. We want to keep the lights on. We love doing this. And so it's a way for you to make some money and support us. So we appreciate all of it. Use the link and make yourself some money. Gamble responsibly, of course, as Glenn will always say. Yep. Don't gamble the house. Don't gamble the food. Don't gamble the kids' clothes. Just the fun money. The fun money. Have fun with it. But that's it for us tonight, folks. Have a great evening, and we'll see you back here on Thursday.
Yep. See you.